from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia.
No, wait. We're not there, right?
That would explain why Arnold isn't here.
Ah, yes. Yes, because he probably can't travel.
Wonderful.
No. Live from HWR HQ is the 283rd edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
Bring out the classics tonight.
Yes.
Chris, right here.
Yeah. Thank you so much for joining us today, guys. We very much appreciate it. If you are watching us live, that's awesome. Log into your YouTube account or your Google account, and that way you could watch us and talk with us at the same time. I'll have you pulled up right here on my old handy-dandy smartphone. And if you want to say hi, ask questions, talk shit, call us out on our bullshit, fact check us, whatever, I'll see it. And I will try to involve you in the show as best as I can. If you're not watching this live, that's okay. You can still interact with us on Facebook, facebook.com/Houston Wrestling Radio, or on Twitter at @HWrestlingRadio, or on Instagram at Houston Wrestling Radio. So, there. Chris, how are you, my man?
Egg fucking exhausted.
Yes?
Yes.
Because of all the wrestling?
You know what? I haven't been this tired since the Rumble. The greatest the Rumble. Rumble. No, oh, this greatest. Past one.
Okay.
Sweet Jesus. Oh, man. Hopefully somebody out there agrees with me. God damn, I couldn't make it through that 50-man Rumble.
You couldn't?
Too fucking long. I fell asleep not once, not twice, but thrice.
No way.
Couldn't make it. Seriously? Three separate times, and I couldn't make it toward the end.
Wow.
No. Jojo, so tell me.
Jojo, welcome. Thank you for joining us. The fish was delicious.
Tell me, is there anything more memorable that happened from the Greatest Royal Rumble than Titus falling with style?
If I told you... That is the most memorable thing. If that did not happen, if he ran down to the ring just like normal, then what I would say would be all the botches Bobby Lashley did. Holy crap. But I can hold that for a second if you really want to expound on Titus World Slide.
How about we go past that? Because it's easy to just pick that.
Okay.
Give me some positives from the match.
You know, you said that it took you forever to get through it and that you fell asleep and all that. Bro, I totally disagree. I fucking love the 50-man Royal Rumble.
Did you watch it live?
No, I did not watch it live. I watched it later that evening.
Between Friday and now, have you seen all 5 hours?
Yes.
Wow.
I watched actually I take that back. I did see the Rumble match live
That explains it.
I take that back. What I saw like from Rusev Taker on live, and then later that evening I went back and watched the beginning all the way to Rusev Taker.
Okay.
But I watched it live and I enjoyed the heck out of it. I really, really liked the Rumble itself, that 50-man Rumble. It almost felt to me like it wasn't 50 men. Like, I know people bitch and complain about the 40 man, like, oh god, it was so long. But
I think the biggest complaint from the 40 is that Alberto won it.
Yeah, I think that is the biggest complaint. This one wasn't, man. It didn't feel that long to me. You know, maybe I just
live in the moment. You get lost, and that was what I brought up last week. Where if you're gonna watch this live, you're probably gonna enjoy it a lot more than you would if you're watching it on delay or after the fact because it's already happened. And you've read half the spoilers on Facebook or every other Facebook timeline post is fucking Titus O'Neil falling on his black ass.
Yeah.
So I didn't have that same fire.
I mean, if you take away the Titus thing, that is a big ass moment. Like if you're spoiled on that, that's a big moment that like you laugh for a good 5 minutes. And I, in the moment, saw it, and I laughed for a good 5 minutes. Of course, this was before everybody, like, reposted it and did GIFs and did memes and, you know, whatever. I felt like it was organic, not in that it wasn't kayfabe, but organic in the sense that, like, the way the commentators were making fun of them, the way they showed the replays, but, like, way after, how I was laughing my ass off along with Cole and Corey. Like, I felt like it was a good thing. for the Rumble itself. But I could see how you, if you've, okay, I get it. I've seen it all over Facebook over and over and over. So by the time you see it, you're like, eh.
Yeah.
You know? But I lost my goddamn mind the same way how Corey lost his goddamn mind. But again, if we're not talking about Titus, we're not talking about Titus, and you want to talk about something positive, I really enjoyed what this guy did, Daniel Bryan. Starting at the very beginning, making it all the way to the final three, breaking Rey Mysterio's record of 102 or an hour and 2 minutes to an hour and 6 minutes.
62 minutes, 12 seconds is Rey Mysterio's record. I think okay. Daniel Bryan's is 65 minutes.
I don't know, something like that. I thought it was an hour and 6 minutes. No, that must be 66 yeah. minutes. Yeah. I thought it was great. It was a good showing for him. Him not winning in the moment was a little disappointing for me. Now, I got to see Randy's reaction because when she saw it for the first time, because when we were replaying the whole thing, we went all the way through to the very end, and she rewatched that, and she was like, oh, man, I hope Daniel Bryan's going to win right from number one. She said that right from the get-go. And then halfway through, man, Daniel Bryan's going to win this. He broke Rey Mysterio's record. Oh, my God, Daniel Bryan's going to win this. And then he made it to the final three. Oh, my God, he's going to win this, but he's in there with these giants. Oh, it wasn't Daniel Bryan. Damn. Okay. Well, oh, Braun wins? Okay, yeah. All right, cool. I'm kind of happy with that. Her reaction, delayed, was my same reaction in the moment. Like, man, I really want D-Bry to win, but I'm not mad that Braun Strowman won.
In hindsight, well, I mean, I asked this last week. What are they okay. going to get? A big green belt and a nice trophy.
Agreed.
Nothing. So in this moment, I agree.
Yeah.
However, now that we have Bryan back on the main roster, is this going to be a continuing issue in Rumble matches that matter? Where you get a shot at the title at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Is this going to keep being and who every wrestling fan, whether you're a smart mark or a casual, believes that he's deserving of it? Is every Royal Rumble going to be shat on if Daniel Bryan eventually doesn't win one?
You know, if there was ever a Royal Rumble match to make up for, it would have been this one. You know, all the two Rumbles that were ruined by either him not participating or him not winning was – could have been overturned with this one, I would think. Because it was 50 men, the biggest one ever, from the front to the back. He made it all the way through. Oh, my God. That would have been like, okay, cool. And I think it would have been a perfect opportunity for WWE to give it to a guy that doesn't have this stipulation of it having to be at WrestleMania. So you have to and you fucking shoehorn yourself into it only being one of, like, five people, even though you have 30 guys in there. Anybody could have won this thing, and it would have been badass because they would have made history.
Hiroki Sumi would have won it.
But you know what I'm saying here, right?
Tucker Knight would have won it.
No.
Roderick Strong would have won it?
Maybe.
I would have bought it if you had help. Yeah. If everybody else was around.
Yeah. But, like, it made it a little bit less predictable because it wasn't for the main event at WrestleMania. Out of 30 guys, it's probably going to be five that you could guess, okay, it should be this guy because he needs main event at Mania. Or, you know what, this guy has a feud with the guy who has the title, so either he's winning it or he's not going to win the Rumble match but somehow win something.
The dark horse has always come out of Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Not WrestleMania. WrestleMania, yeah. You pretty much know.
But in this particular match, you could have had a dark horse.
Yeah.
And why not fucking Daniel Bryan? It could have been Daniel Bryan. It should have been Daniel Bryan. But it was Braun Strowman. I'm glad that it wasn't Big Cass. I get that, like, the thing with Big Cass is they're starting this feud with D-Bry and they got a program going. Okay, cool.
Momentum.
Yeah. Daniel, what's up, man? Thank you for joining us again tonight.
Greatest Royal Rumble match aside, what was the match of the night for you?
The Intercontinental match. Intercontinental title ladder match. I thought it was good. It had some really good spots. A lot of old wow moments. A lot of flippy dippy. A lot of crazy, you know, jumping off of the ladders, this and that. It wasn't the most insane ladder match out there, but whatever. But something did happen in this particular ladder match that I've never seen before. And correct me if I'm wrong on this, Chris. But I don't think I've ever seen somebody at the top of the ladder already putting their paws on the title and then somebody else springboard halfway through it and snatch.
No.
Because the thing about ladder matches that kind of kills the kayfabe a little bit sometimes is slow wrestlers can climb the ladder. And like, all right, it's going to be Finn. Finn's right there. He's taking the half hour to get up there. All right, time's a ticking. You're there. All right. But then, like, in 2.5 seconds flat, all of a sudden, somebody knows how to scurry up the ladder real quickly.
And
okay.
Finn just stood there like.
Finn was like, I'm going to take down. Oh, it's not there anymore. Whoa, no. Like
Seth had the time stone just.
Yeah, exactly. So it was kind of cool because, oh. Finally, somebody logical. You have all these fucking little speedsters in this match and go up there, grab the thing. Cool. I'm glad that that happened. And like I said, correct me if I'm wrong. I think this is the first time I've ever seen that happen in a ladder match. But at the expense of Finn looking stupid and looking like he's in slow-mo.
It's got to be somebody.
I guess so.
I mean, yeah, the ladder match was good. It felt, the entire show felt like two things. Number one, it felt like everyone was precautious / tired. Because remember, okay. You were at SmackDown Tuesday and then right off the bat, you took that long flight.
Yeah.
And it's hard. It's a huge time change difference, dude.
Yes.
You're talking about almost 12-hour time difference. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be, and you get about a day and a half to adjust. So that's going to be hard. So a lot of these matches felt like they didn't really get into fifth gear. Like a lot of
right. Them.
Oddly enough, that I'm going to say this, Match of the Week candidate, the opener, Cena and Triple H, was actually pretty good. I liked it.
What?
I liked it. It felt like old school 80s wrestling, methodical, the test of strength. That stuff we don't see in WWE anymore. Okay. And that's why it threw me off that we're going to start off a WWE pay-per-view with that kind of match. And I was pleasantly surprised. And it didn't turn me away from pyro. Was pretty. The entire night, man. The Saudis know how to get their pyro.
Dude, that was
they out-Olympic the Olympics.
That was the best thing of the whole event.
Yeah.
The whole event. The pyro. My God, I fucking missed pyro so much. And it was just so nice to see it. Especially with that half-open air hole in the middle of the stadium where they're shooting pyro outside while on inside on top. And
yeah.
Oh, God, it was so pretty.
Yeah.
It was so fucking pretty.
I love the finish to the cage match.
Excuse me, sir.
I love the finish, not the match.
You love the
finish. I love the finish of the steel cage match. Yes. Ready to protect Brock Lesnar to make sure that Roman doesn't get the belt again. And that's it. I don't want to see these two again together for the rest of the year. Move on. Brock Lesnar needs somebody else now.
JoJo says, slap, Chris. I missed.
And I don't remember it. The rest of it's hazy.
Okay. All right. I'll help you a little bit on there. Cause I want to dive into the cage match a little bit more, but I want to say this first, because you kind of touched on it. The fact that they went all the way over there after being in SmackDown and they could have had a little bit of jet lag, you know, because they were wrestling at their time, well, in Saudi time in the evening, but for us, we were watching it 10 o'clock in the morning. So, yeah.
11. So imagine wrestling, if you're used to wrestling at like 7 or 8 o'clock at night, now you're wrestling at
noon. Yeah, so I could see how a day than what you're used to. Yeah, maybe that's why there were so many botches. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why Lashley almost killed Big Cass. Lashley dropped Elias when he wasn't supposed to. You had a whisper in the wind that completely whiffed.
I remember
that. And Jinder still bumped.
I remember that.
But this botch at the end of the cage match, because I think it was a botch, isn't necessarily a botch by the competitors in the ring. Maybe that was a botch by the people setting up the cage itself.
Why? Well, you didn't notice the little zippy ties break off?
I noticed that
was part of the plan.
I noticed the zippy ties. I know this is zippy ties. I think maybe they put them where they weren't supposed to go. I think that the way that the zippy ties were supposed to be, here, let me put down my phone here, is that the cage door was supposed to swing open like that, and Brock fell down first with his feet actually touching the floor. But somebody put the zippy ties on there wrong, so it went like that, and then Brock's feet just stayed up on top of it, and they're like, hey, Brock won, according to the script. Oh, shit, he didn't. Cole, make something up about his body exiting first. When earlier in the fucking match, when he tried to escape out the door, Cole said, oh, his both feet touched the floor. Which, for years, I've been a wrestling fan for years, all my fucking life. The rule in WWE / WWF has always been both feet touch the floor. That's why Shawn Michaels won that Royal Rumble match and not British Bulldog, because only 1 foot touched the floor and he skinned the cat. That was the first instance of skinning the cat to win yourself a Royal Rumble happened, because only 1 foot touched the floor. When Luger and what's his name?
Brett,
they both went outside.
What's his name? Your boyfriend?
I know. I this is how livid I am. Both of them, they had to fall out of the ring and both feet fucking touched the floor. Chris Benoit, he had to go over, even though Benoit was on the outside first, but he flipped him over and Benoit stayed on the apron. Why? Because Big Show's feet, both feet touched the floor. Why the fuck is Kofi not been eliminated all those times? I had to get eliminated twice. Why? Because Kofi figured out ways to not have both feet touch the floor. Technically, 1 foot on a pancake and 1 foot on the floor doesn't count as being eliminated. So you're telling me with Brock Lesnar's fucking feet in the air,
ass up
with bouncing on the steel cage, you say that's eliminated because he was out on the bottom? No, man. That's why I think it was a botch. I think the cage was supposed to open up another way so his feet actually touched the floor, so that way they could say that he still has the title, blah, blah, blah. And the
storyline is perfect. That's the whole point. Roman has the legitimate beef, just like the Big Show had the legitimate beef when The Rock's feet actually touched the floor first at Royal Rumble 2000. That's part of the story. Roman,
you think that was a work?
Yeah.
You
Roman is protected because he didn't really lose because the referee got it wrong. No, but like Kurt Angle said, the referee's decision's final, so you are fuddiddly. And now Roman doesn't have time to bitch about his rematch because he's about to get fed to fucking Samoa Joe in about 4 days.
I don't think that's a work, bro. I don't think
we'll see what happens after next week on Raw.
All right.
We'll see what happens. But
guys in the chat watching later, whatever. Was it a work or was it a botch? You tell us. What do you think?
I caught the end of the casket match where both the fuckers were put in the casket, but I heard Undertaker wasn't looking too good.
It was okay. It was better than
every WrestleMania match the last 5 years.
Well, I was going to say better than, particularly because it, you know, actually went on and was actually competitive. The match was good. It wasn't bad. It didn't have that stigma of Taker at Mania and the streak, or what's left of the streak, and all that crap. It was just a cool Undertaker match with a casket. Holy crap, against Rusev. All right, cool. I was able to enjoy it. So I liked it.
My favorite. My segment of the week. Holy fuck. Do we not know what's going on around the world? Because we have no idea about politics, about things in general. The heat that the Daivari brothers got in Saudi Arabia, to the point where Ari is still getting death threats.
He is.
He's getting death threats. That was classic 80s. This crowd felt like something straight out of the 80s, especially WrestleMania 4, because there was half of that match where all the royal family or whatever that are on ringside, they're just standing up with their backs turned, escorting people. It's like, oh, this isn't important. Just the kids were marking out the fuck out, but everybody wearing white,
they didn't care.
Yeah, they didn't care.
They were sitting back in their fucking lazy boy recliners.
But good fuck did everybody phone. Did everybody get up when the Daivaris came out? And when they were talking in freaking in Iran, I loved it. It felt good to watch a wrestling show literally and figuratively in front of a classic wrestling audience where you don't have to go, where you don't get that 1-2 sweet at the end, or like Roman was getting a pretty more positive reaction. Cena was overly positive. Some of the pops in that arena, dude. Bryan's pop was big. Undertaker's was huge.
Taker's were
but huge. The heat from the Daivari bros, man. Holy fuck, that was fun to watch. And the Rooks got got a piece. That's good.
Yeah, I that was one of the segments that I did not watch live. I did hear that. Oh man, they did some things that were kind of in bad taste. Oh god, there's legit heat out there. So fuck, man, I can't wait to see this when I get home. Got home, finally got to that segment, watched it, and I was like, that's not over the line at all. That's
classic story. That's a movie.
That's classic foreign heel gimmick.
Yeah.
You know, like
that's nothing but a black audience cheering for Black Panther. That's what you're gonna get.
Yeah, I mean, so, we've had that here in the United States for years. Someone comes like, fuck the USA, and like, boo,
I'm not from here. Then, look at my passport.
And then what happens? The heel gets the comeuppance. And that's exactly what happened. You have two established wrestlers who are like, you know, contenders, who are there, who have the fucking trunks, who have the music and all that, with rookies, day one, haven't even been on Tough Enough rookies.
Day zero.
Like, day one-ish, kind of, you know? And they got their ass kicked by the rookies, who aren't even really rookies.
They got fondled.
Tryout partners of WWE in Saudi Arabia. You know, that's probably the only time you're ever going to see these motherfuckers. So
maybe one.
I'm cool with it. Like, if they in Saudi Arabia are a little hot on this, I'm like, honey, sweetie, oh, bless your heart. You're not ready for
2030.
You ain't ready, honey. You ain't ready.
You're not ready.
You ain't ready. Because that I don't think that was in bad taste. It was just heels going out there talking smack, and then they immediately got their comeuppance against somebody that they probably never should have gotten comeuppance against.
It's classic wrestling 101, play in front of your audience. What the hell did we get in the first promo of Raw last Monday? We got two different people speaking French. You play to your audience. You get over like a fucking $1 million, and you hope that reaction could somehow rub off in the weeks to come in the live events or maybe in the tapings coming up.
Daniel says, Farsi, Chris. Iranians speak Farsi. Farsi. Seth, what's up, man? Nice to see you back. He has a question for you. He says, what is your favorite Hardwired album song?
It's not fair to say this, but I'm going to be biased. It's the Sawblade riff from 4 minutes, 10 seconds in. Am I Savage?
Okay.
But there's
the answer, yes, I am.
Oh yeah. If I had an Instagram. but yeah, dude, almost other than the Motorhead, the tribute song to Lemmy, every song on that CD is a banger, dude. I can't get tired of it. Speaking of which, I had no idea hearing it because I wasn't watching the video.
Daniel's calling you out. Chris said last week, I hope we don't get the Big Show finish this week. I like that finish.
What finish?
The fucking falling out of the ring thing. You said that last week. I hope we don't get a Big Show finish of the cage match with the fucking opening of the door falling out of the cage.
I didn't say that. Did I?
Yeah.
Check tape. Right. I don't remember. I think Arnold said something like that. I just said I don't want Kane or Big Show fucking near the goddamn like tag titles.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm probably wrong.
Yeah.
I'm
always wrong. Oh, Ross says his is Atlas Rides.
That's a lot of riffage. Yeah. That's straight up like Iron Maiden.
All right. So,
are you going to fucking Austin City Limits? They're playing twice.
I don't think he's in Texas.
Do you want to come to Texas and Metallica's playing twice?
If I remember correctly, Seth lives near Chicago.
Ooh, I'm gonna crash on your couch. For all in.
For all in.
All in tickets go on sale next Sunday at 3. I could be wrong. Next Sunday at 3.
Seth,
all
in tickets go. Are you from Chicago? Do I got you wrong? I don't know, because I think I remember when he first started coming in the chat, I was wearing my Astros hat, and he started talking about the Cubs. That was before the World Series. This was the regular Astros hat.
Okay.
Whatever. I have a bad memory.
Is there anything else from the pay-per-view that's worth mentioning?
Overall, thumbs up, thumbs down.
In the middle, it was probably what I gave it a 5. I think that's what it was for me.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun. Overall, I'll give it a thumbs up. I was a little slightly disappointed in the fact that we didn't have any titles change hands with the exception of vacant to the leaders of worlds.
It was a glorified house show, bro.
Yeah, it was a glorified house show. But
it was pretty.
They made me believe the week prior that this was going to be more than a glorified house show. The weeks before that, I was like, yeah, it's just going to be a glorified house show. It wasn't until the week prior, I was like, okay, I guess this is an actual pay-per-view. Yeah. Holy fuck. And then it wasn't. It wound up being a fucking glorified house show. So I'm like, but it's still on TV, so it counts. It's canon. So I don't know. But it was fun. I enjoyed watching it. And I hope the Saudis had fun. And yeah.
And I hope the Saudis are ready. I think they're going back this November.
Right.
It's not going to be a big...
Greatest Survivor Series 20 on 20. Because it's in November. It's in November. Fuck.
Yeah. And we can't even recover because Backlash. Backlash.
He's in Virginia.
Ah.
Yes. He's a Nationals fan. That's right. Nationals. Sorry.
Ah, okay. Yes. It's Virginia for lovers.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I remember when I drove through. Mm-hmm. Backlash is this Sunday.
Oh, Backlash.
Backlash.
All right. Backlash. Do we have a card?
The main event.
Oh, geez. We're starting right from the
get-go. No disqualification. Shinsuke Nakamura-san versus the Phenomenal Loon. AJ,
you know,
Styles.
What? We didn't even talk about that match from...
Does it matter? Because we're talking about it now.
Okay, we're talking about it now.
Preach.
I enjoyed the matchup at Greatest Royal Rumble. I really liked AJ Styles' pyro. Oh, God. It looks so clean. God damn, that was so badass. But anyway, the match itself was better than their WrestleMania match. Nowhere near as good as their Wrestle Kingdom match from 2 years ago, but I digress. But it was better than an Arena match, even though it had kind of a wonky finish with the double count out, but it kind of makes sense of the storyline. AJ was pissed off, so AJ kept... But there is still a low blow, which is great. I'm really... I'm digging these logos. I'm digging them. They're funny. It's something different when it comes to Shinsuke. And I think this heel turn of his, it's really working for him. And the low blow thing is kind of...
I don't mind that they're pissing off the marquee wrestling audience by having Shinsuke resort to low blows when you know what he can do. However, that comes back to the original case in point. He has to win the belt this Sunday. Otherwise, he's just another guy. He's
Umaga. He's all the Vladimir Kozlov. He's all these people that John Cena buried. Mm-hmm. Except it's AJ doing the burying, which I don't mind AJ doing the burying, but...
To the point where I'm already past this match. Because SmackDown, AJ's got another threat.
Oh, yeah?
Samoa Joe. Good fuck, man.
Yeah.
He needs to speak into, like, headsets or something because those microphones are flammable. He's just dropping all of them in bombs, yeah. Dude. Holy fuck.
Do you think that there's going to be any interference from Samoa Joe or Samoa focused on Roman?
He's going to be focused on Roman.
All right. Before we move away from this, 1 to 10, what's your anticipation level for AJ versus Shinsuke?
5. It's dropping. I was at a 10 at Mania. I was at a 7 last week, and now I'm at a 5.
Okay.
But it will all be for wealth if they actually put the belt on Nakamura.
Is that your official prediction?
Yes. My prediction is I'm going with my gut. I'm going with my testes. Naka has to win this. Has to. Otherwise, I don't know what the hell you're going to do with him.
My prediction is AJ's going to win. That way, because we just talked about it, they're already setting up Joe versus AJ. So what's the point if he loses the title? Joe was barking up the Roman tree. Hey, Roman, you're going to have a belt. I'm going to beat you up. Oh, now you don't have a belt. Hey, AJ, you have a belt. I'm going to beat you up. No, now AJ doesn't have it. Like, goddamn, how many times is that going to happen to Joe? You know? So no. AJ's going to win, put this whole Shinsuke Nakamura thing to bed. And anticipation level, I'm going to stick with the 7. Because they showed me a little bit more at the Greatest Royal Rumble. So I think this match could live up to the Greatest Royal Rumble, hopefully surpass it, and surpass, well, if it lives up to that, it's definitely going to surpass WrestleMania. But I want it to get to Wrestle Kingdom levels. I don't think we're going to see that in WWE, but I got high hopes. High hopes.
Intercontinental Campione. Yes. Seth defends against The Miz. What you got?
Seth versus The Miz, I think Seth's going to retain because I said this last week. I don't like the fact that there's two pay-per-views. Of course, this is when I was thinking Greatest Royal Rumble is going to be considered a pay-per-view. But I don't like the fact that there's two pay-per-views immediately following the draft where there's
commingling
and titles can be switched, but they're not going to get switched and this and that. And I thought the switcheroos were going to come at the Greatest Royal Rumble, but they're not. So it's like, I think Seth won in it. Just to keep it so you don't have to fucking muddy the waters with who's going where. And anticipation level, I'm going to go with, even though the Intercontinental ladder match was probably the best match for Greatest Royal Rumble, I'm going to go with maybe a 7.
I'm going to go with a 6.
Okay.
I'm getting a little tired already of Seth Rollins and these matches that are built up as like the shit. It was nice in Montreal, but goddamn, I'm already sick of Seth and Finn. We've seen him, what, 5 times already this year? And you haven't pulled the trigger on Finn? So, So I have a hot take for Finn, but I'm going to save that. All actually, right. I'll say that until we're done with the segment. The Miz in this. Right. And I would like for my waters to be a bit muddy. Throw me a curveball. How do you fix the Miz? Because I remember the commentary saying specifically – for the Raw tag team titles, that if Cesaro and Sheamus won them, they would go back to Raw. So we could get this pre-match or even during the match that now that the draft is over, these titles are already on lock for these brands. And if the Miz wins it, he goes back to Raw.
So you don't the Intercontinental title. You don't take the belt with you to your new brand.
You go back.
Okay.
They all it takes, like you said, 30-second video or something. Yeah.
Explain that.
Yeah, just tell us.
Tell me that.
And don't make me find it. It's got to be on the pay-per-view. I don't want to find it on Tout. I don't want to find it on Pinterest.
I'm not thinking anymore.
No, I. You need to tell me on the network when I'm watching.
So not WWE.com exclusive.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And it's not exclusive if you're going to fucking show it on Raw or pay-per-view anyway. God, fuck. So, I got the Miz. I got the Miz winning that.
All right.
Hot take!
So you say you got Miz taking it and then going back to Raw.
Yes.
That way the Mr. Raj has something to do.
Mr. Raj gets number one contender matches against him. The Miz against Axel, you forget Axel's what, a 3-time Intercontinental champ?
That's true.
You know, Bo hasn't gotten a sniff of gold yet other than the NXT run he had when he was in NXT.
Yeah.
That could be interesting. Speaking of interesting, my tummy. That Finn Balor is going to be in this year's United Kingdom tournament.
Ooh. That's a hot take, sir.
And I would be devastatingly intrigued. Give me Finn versus fucking Pete Dunne. If Finn's in the business right now of putting people over, fuck it. You're gonna give a hell of a fucking Louisiana rub to goddamn Pete Dunne.
Okay.
You know? Okay. So I'm all in for that because I don't – right now
– hold on. What the fuck is a Louisiana rub?
Barbecue, man. Louisiana rub to get the – dude, you're the chef. You should know this. Okay. You have cable.
Okay.
I don't know what you're doing with Finn right now.
I need a clarification on that.
Tell me. What are we doing with Finn right now?
I don't know.
Is he – like he forgot the rainbow-colored shirt that one time he was in Saudi Arabia, but every other place he's supposed to be for everyone?
I guess.
But what are we doing?
I don't know.
Does for everyone mean that everyone loses because Finn can't get a fucking break? He's losing? Nope. So what are we doing?
Finn is standing over on Raw watching SmackDown, seeing the club and AJ just –
seeing Ring of Honor reborn. Oh my god, no. I wanna be
all by myself. I miss the club.
Kata, please come get me. Oh, that Summer's Eve got in my eye. Shit.
Yeah, Michael, what's up, man? Great timing for you to come in with a fucking cry and flick off that bit. Welcome, Michael.
On the other side, we have the Intercontinental title on Raw. The SmackDown! 10 years ago, in the 2008 Royal Rumble, we had Randy Orton defending the WWE title against Jeff Hardy.
Ten years later,
Jeff Hardy's defending the U.S. title against Randy Orton.
Huh.
My anticipation for this is at a 9. And I'm, and Randy Orton, you know, this year, But dude, Jeff Hardy can still go. And I like Sneaky Orton. he's good until like maybe 2 or 3 uses, and then it gets boring again.
Oh, God.
Until he breaks out another like out of nowhere. So, dude, I'm gonna watch on Orton. I want to see if Jeff Hardy is. I've had this feeling in 2008 when I saw this match that this was the proving ground to prove that Jeff Hardy belonged in the main event scene.
Oh.
This is the proving ground 10 years later to see if Hardy still has what it takes to maybe by the end of this year at least have a program with the heavyweight title.
Or at feuding, least be a very successful singles competitor.
Yeah. And yeah.
Okay.
Whether he stays away from the peyote or not. Yeah. At least in the ring, if you can still go, then we're going to still invest as a company and as a fan base. So I'm curious, man. I'm extremely curious. And I'm at a 9.
That's it.
And I got Jeff winning.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
This is SmackDown versus SmackDown. So, okay. I think it is too soon to take it off of Jeff. So I got Jeff winning. Anticipation level, it's not as high as you. I'll give it a 7. I think I'm giving, so far giving everything 7s. JoJo says that Kenny will join Finn. JoJo.
We could always dream.
Yeah. Or no. Finn will probably go join Kenny. That's for his release. And then
holy
go back.
Fuck, Finn versus Kenny at All In. As I stared into the abyss.
Daniel says, Omega's not going anywhere for a while. He has unfinished business in Japan and will be there at least another year.
Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Well, yeah, he also signed a contract extension for a year.
He will definitely not be at the Royal Rumble next year in Phoenix.
Okay. That look.
The second biggest reaction from the Greatest Royal Rumble, if the Saudi coming together was on the top, right beneath it was the reason why the Saudis had to apologize to the people in their country that watched the show over the network, because WWE actually aired the promo video where everybody's lip-syncing and singing because all the brands are coming together for their monthly pay-per-view now. And the last clip of that footage is Carmella getting thrown a water bottle in her onesie.
Shaking that ass.
And all the dudes going, ah! Dude, Carmella in her first title defense against Charlotte Flair. What you got?
I'm going to go with an 8 on this one. Why not? Go a little bit higher.
Because if you turn it sideways...
Yes. I want to see Carmella get destroyed and then still win because of heel shenanigans and everybody getting pissed the F off. That's what I want to see. And I think I'm going to see it. I think somehow, some way, the daughter of the dirtiest player in the game is going to get out dirty played. Somehow, some way, and everybody's gonna fucking hate it. Either it's gonna be a straight up DQ or some sort of shenanigans where Carmella still gets the pin, but after getting her ass whooped the entire time, it was like thumb to the eye, throw salt in the face, get kicked into the ramp, and then the lightning scaffold falls on Charlotte, and the referee is blind the entire time. 1, 2, 3. Like somehow something's gonna happen, and I'm living for it right now.
If I were a referee, I would be easily blinded. Have you seen the pictures of Carmella in a bathing suit that leaked on Facebook a few days ago? Yeah. I agree completely. I see a complete dissection, destruction, implosion to Carmella, but it's not going to come at the hands of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got Carmella winning this, and I will be very pleased of Carmella winning this. I'm also at an 8 for this. I'm curious to see how Carmella's going to handle now that she's got some shine on her.
Daniel says Charlotte by DQ because of Aussie shenanigans.
That too.
You think the Iconics will get involved? Are the Iconics and Carmella like trying to be a stable buddy-buddy? Or are they? Was that just a one-time thing?
Fucking weird.
Ooh.
Is that a fucking hot take or what?
Yeah, I guess so. Michael, he's asked this twice. Everybody's talking about SummerSlam. What about Money in the Bank? I'm not talking about SummerSlam. Well, I think you may have mentioned it, but I mean, we got to get through this first before we get to SummerSlam. The SummerSlam is what, 2 months away? Money in the Bank's happening.
3 months.
Happening
Money in
before?
The Bank's in. Money in the Bank is in June.
Okay,
Money in the Bank's in June.
May's Backlash.
June's Money in the Bank. July, I think, is either Extreme Rules or Battleground, and then August is SummerSlam.
Okay.
Yeah. Are you more anticipated in Carmella's first title defense or in Nia's first title defense?
Carmella's. Nia's, I'm interested in. But I'm not interested in, like, I'm interested in her being a champ, and I want to see more about her, and I want to see her have a good run. But right now, this kickoff angle with her, it's like, all right, she's got to beat fucking Alexa again. All right, cool. What else you got? You know, like, I'm just kind of waiting for this with her and Alexa to be over. I don't know if I think the Moment of Bliss promos are cute or cringy. I'm not sure, because
it's awkward.
Yeah, because like it's kind of cute, because and it's kind of cringy because Alexa's making good points, and if you didn't know what the story actually is and you just tuned in,
you would think she's the face.
Yeah, you would think she's the face, but she's not the face. And I'm expecting Cole or Corey, as soon as it ends, to like totally discredit everything Alexa just said, and they don't. Well, okay, maybe Nia needs to come out and totally discredit everything, and they don't. And it's like, I don't know.
This feud, I have a flashback when I see this rivalry right now. It reminds me of The Miz and Alex Riley. You've been waiting. You've been built up for months. Dude, Riley's going to turn on The Miz. Riley's getting fed up with The Miz. Riley's going to turn on The Miz. And he does. And we finally get that first match. And that first match is like, ah, man, I was expecting more than this. Mm. And then you're like, oh, wait, they're going to keep going? Oh, just be done with it already. I'm already done with this. It feels like we've had this for too long already. Like, SmackDown,
okay.
not to beat a dead horse, but SmackDown's looking a lot fresher right now.
Yeah.
And I agree. I'm at six, and I'm the guy that wanted Nia to win. I wanted Big Mama Babyface, and I still think she's attractive. I still want to see the match. But I'm more interested in what the goings on is. I think it might be because right now, because of the way Carmella was booked with the Money in the Bank, she is the person that's getting the most either pop or heat on the SmackDown roster as far as the women go.
Okay.
And on Raw, Nia's not even close, dude. The Ronda right. stuff with Natty is like,
yes. Yes, you're right. Yeah, I mean,
that's probably why.
Well, okay. The stuff with Ronda and Natty, that's good. That's a good building.
It's organic, too.
It's organic. I like that subtle, like, all of a sudden, Natty's a face. And I'm not like, oh god, fucking Big Show syndrome. No, I'm cool with this. Like, they showed that, oh, she's been training here for this long time.
And they're not even shoehorning Ronda. She's coming across as the same level as everyone else.
Yeah.
Even though everyone else around watching those,
like, that girl's a big fat ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm digging it. And that's the kind of character development that I want to see out of Nia. While you're building Ronda, I want you to build Nia and have them just go, oh my god, and then you know, that's what I want to see eventually. But right now, you're building Ronda, and Nia's just on cruise control. Mm-hmm. And you're not, like, that's going to happen. Not this, yeah. That. Like, and it doesn't work.
Who you got winning, Nia or Alexa?
I hope Nia, because once you move past this feud with Alexa, and she doesn't have any more claims to have another match, get past it. Let Nia beat other people and develop her character, show how dominant she could be as a babyface. You know, we talked about that lip syncing video montage for Backlash. You know, yeah, sure, Carmella was looking damn. Oh my god, my heart melted when I saw Alexa or Nia doing her little, like, trying to do her dance moves and just whatever and just having fun with it. Like, oh, Nia, oh, you know,
you see the beauty within.
Yeah, I know. and like, I want them to expound on that. I want to make something else happen with her. The way I feel about Otis Dojovic, the way I feel about him, like, oh my God, this guy is so fucking adorable. He is amazing. I'm going to cheer him no matter what, because God, he's such a dork, but he's powerful and thick and muscular, and he's going to kill you. But
stakes and weights, baby. Stakes and weights.
Stakes and weights. Hell yeah. I love it. That's what I want Naya to be that. And Naya's not that yet. Okay. What else?
I would agree. I've got Naya winning this.
Yeah.
Momentum for Braun Strowman just to be in a tag match with Lashley against Zayn and Owens. Wrestling. One, the greatest Royal Rumble. My anticipation for this is at a zero. Haven't we already seen this? It feels like we've already seen this. How many times have I seen Braun Strowman literally run over Cammy.
Yeah.
Either one of them are collective. Like, twice. Okay, do something.
In one episode of Raw. In one match. Twice.
And who knew that Braun Strowman's shadow is actually Bobby Lashley?
You know, as
that
much,
wasn't racist.
And that was as much as I actually was an apologist and a truther for Nicholas, I still found it entertaining. However, 2 weeks later, you're going to make Braun's full-time tag team partner be Bobby Lashley? Why the fuck didn't you just do that 2 weeks previous? Why didn't you do that then? If that's all you're doing with Lashley, because you want to talk about how this is kind of holding Braun back? No, sir. I want to talk about how this is holding Lashley back, aside from my gripes about his botches, but that's a separate issue. I want to talk about Lashley here for a second now on his booking, okay? His booking, he's been only in tag matches. It was, what, the 4-on-4, then another 2-on-2. This is going to be a 2-on-2. Right now, if I'm not somebody that has watched for a long time when Lashley was relevant in WWE, or somebody that doesn't watch TNA, I don't know what the fuck a Bobby Lashley is. Hell, I am somebody who watched TNA. I was somebody who was watching wrestling back when Bobby Lashley was a thing. I still don't know what a Bobby Lashley is. There is absolutely nothing to this guy that screams charisma. This dude has negative charisma. If you called him Black Lesnar, that's giving him too much credit as far as charisma goes. Like, he is nothing. He is cardboard toast. That's what he is right now. And, like, it's bland and boring and, like, he's just a jacked dude with generic-ass music, generic-ass fucking clip art Titantron, and that's it. That's it. And you're just putting him in tag teams, or he's the afterthought, where Braun, the guy that you've molded for a fucking year, giving him character and storyline and crazy ass shit where he's toppling sets over and lifting ambulances and doing all this crazy shit, just, oh, Lashley's gonna follow him around. Nicholas was more fucking character developed than fucking Lashley right now. Never, that was more interesting than Lashley. Lashley, dude, you're doing him a disservice. Now, all that being said, I don't see why they want to just de-push him because of the fucking botches that he did. He almost killed fucking Big Cass. He dropped Elias. This was all in the same fucking match. Ugh, I don't think I want them to push him now.
They should have just done this from the beginning and have Strowman and Lashley win the tag titles at WrestleMania. Then have Lashley turn on Strowman and have feuding tag team champions feuding with each other.
While they're still tag team champions.
They beat the shit out of their opponents, and as soon as the match is over, they go back to beating the shit out of each other. Like, goddamn, is it that hard? Like, I've said this ad nauseum. Why? What made you want to bring Bobby back? Why aren't you doing that? They had a WWE, and here's the thing I hate about WWE's marketing. They had, like, I think it was a week ago or 2 weeks ago, they had a top 10 of Bobby Lashley's title wins. Not one mention of that shit on the telly. Not on Raw.
Good point.
Not on the pay-per-view. On Greatest Royal Rumble. Nothing. You don't even announce that he's a former champion of any belt that you have on the roster.
Right.
You don't announce that he's been a former world champion in the other galaxies. Mm-hmm. You don't even announce that he's a former MMA guy that was in contention.
That was an MMA champion.
Mm-hmm. Nothing.
You
like,
give
what?
You give Sonya fucking Deville credit as being an MMA person when she ain't won shit, and you have the guy who was the champion of the number two MMA promotion in the whole fucking world, and
heavyweight champion of the number two wrestling promotion,
and you don't give him a fucking peep, a peep about
you know what this
that.
Reminds me of?
What?
Balor, the one thing that he's known for. Oh, let's just take it away from you and see how you do.
Yeah.
I've actually have Owens and Sami Zayn winning because somebody has to turn on somebody. God damn it. This is already getting to Sasha Bailey territory. Either pull the trigger or get off the fucking pot.
You're talking about with Cammy?
No, I'm talking about with
Lashley.
And something has to happen here. One has to be food for the other. That way they can go to a match towards the summer. But they need to do something with this. I'm already like, okay, I am one pay-per-view away, and it's this Sunday. From completely not giving a fuck about Bobby Lashley.
Okay.
They need to do something about that ASAP.
Yeah.
So
I got Braun winning because they're gonna keep giving him wins. So yeah, Braun is winning this. My anticipation level is probably at a 5. And it should be higher because it's Braun fucking Strowman, Sami fucking Zayn, and Kevin fucking Owens in the match. And I love all three of those guys. And a brand new guy that you just debuted, the Raw after WrestleMania, that should be like, oh shit, this is a new
guy. That got no fucking reaction last Monday.
Yeah.
None.
So you got a new guy that I should be hyped over, and then three guys that I already love, and I don't give a fuck about the match. Pitiful.
Daniel Bryan against Big Cass.
I'm at a 9.
Your story, guys. So you're loving this.
I'm loving this. I love what they're doing with Big Cass on this. Now, while I was disappointed that D-Bry didn't win the Greatest Royal Rumble, I do think that if he were to have gotten eliminated, it makes sense for him to be eliminated by Big Cass. Mm-hmm. The up-and-comer who's just kind of starting his career, restarting his career now that he's not with Enzo.
But it's and fourth different theme song.
Yeah, whatever. His theme song could use some work.
Still.
Yeah, it still could use some work. But there's something to Big Cass. And I don't think we've had a guy the size of Big Cass with the promo skills of Big Cass. I don't think we have.
Did you watch his promo on SmackDown?
Yes, I did. And I know it wasn't the best. He's not The Rock. Okay.
It's not about being The Rock. It sounds like he's reading lines that are fed to him. Somebody in creative needs to just give him bullet points and just let him be himself. I've seen videos of
I think some of that some of that he is. I don't know, man. I'm seeing nuggets in there, man. There's a little bit of shine there. You need to polish it up. It's a little bit of a diamond in the rough. But
those are corn kernels on a big turd, brother.
He's not Kane. He's not Big Show. He's not any of the other big guys that you ever had that their character is just – or their promo skills have just been – this is a guy that can, you know – not go out and I'm going to be big and I'm going to kill you. And like
Big Show can cry on a dime. Kane's about to run a fucking city.
Yeah, I know, but it's not because of, like, wrestling promo skill. Yeah. Like, I get it that Kane's a smart dude. I get that. And he, congratulations, been winning the mayoral candidacy and all that. But, like, there's just something different about Kane. You know what I mean, about Big Cass, you know? And I could see it. And so far, the story is good. They're playing spoiler for this guy. This guy is the guy everyone wants to see win and this and that. And they just took Big Cass and made him go, meh.
I've got Cass winning this.
You know what? I do too. I think Cass is going to win it. And it's going to upset everybody. It's going to piss everybody off. And that's exactly what's supposed to happen because he's a heel.
Mm-hmm. I'm at about a 7 for this match. Again, the masochist in me likes the fact that they're trolling the internet wrestling community by knocking Daniel Bryan out and having him hurt. And then Big Cass not showing up for Miz TV instead of Daniel Bryan. And Daniel Bryan got him matches and all that. Okay, I like it. But the payoff has to be, at least for Backlash, Big Cass has to keep going. Because right now, I mean, I don't want to put him in this category, but I think right now Daniel Bryan is in like Ric Flair, Samoa Joe territory. He can fuck. They're gonna still cheer Bryan like crazy, just like they still cheer Flair like crazy, just like we still gush every time Joe talks on the microphone. And right now, you take advantage of it by letting other people get on him, which means Cass needs to have some wins under Bryan while Bryan is still indomitable. So that once you're ready to pull the trigger on Bryan, not only do you have the fans that already like him, but you have the story behind it that even the casuals can be like, oh, I like the beardy guy. So, I've got Big Cass winning this.
That being said, the thing with the little dude dressing up as D-Bry, come on, man. Really? Like, come on.
Sean did it better.
Daniel says this in the live chat. Cash should have stayed the monster heel when he first started beating the hell out of Enzo and then feuded with Strowman.
We can still get that. That was a great teaser at the end of the Rumble with Cash and Strowman.
Daniel also says, I don't know, Chris. You'd be amazed at the amount of hate for Bryan on the internet and contempt for the fact that he's back. It's crazy.
I haven't read any of that.
I haven't seen any of that.
I don't do Reddit. Because Reddit, people cut themselves with their mouses.
With their
like,
mice?
Nah, I'm not doing it.
Okay.
No.
I haven't seen any hate for D-Bry. No. I mean, D-Bry's not getting any hate from me. I'll tell you that much.
Says a guy wearing a punk shirt. But
well, okay. I am. I don't have any D-Bry shirts right now. I should get one. I have like 3 punk shirts.
And a flag. How do you have a fucking flag?
That's Arnold's.
Pawn it off on the guy that's not here. So, as much as he's not in the main event, we're ending the segment. Roman Reigns against Samoa Joe.
Okay.
And you from a 10. The only reason you were at a 9 for Brock versus Roman was because of someone that wasn't even in the match.
I'll tell you why.
What?
It's not for the Universal title.
Ooh.
That's why.
Hey, inconsequential? Doesn't matter?
Somewhat.
Joe's already focused on AJ.
Yeah.
Roman's still bitching about he's the uncrowned brother.
Yeah because that this isn't the what may come future. Oh, my God. We finally got rid of this thing with Brock. And, you know, no. Brock's still the champ. Roman still has a claim to Brock. But let me take care of Joe in the meantime. Man, if Roman had the title, and this is, less than a week or approximately a week away, you got Samoa fucking Joe. Oh, God. You know, what the hell is going to happen? You know? Oh, and by the way, Samoa Joe's on the other brand.
That's,
oh, God. How does that mean Joe's going to go back?
Imagine how even pissier the audience would be if you took the Universal Championship away from a part-timer and you gave it to a full-timer, that's on the other brand.
Yes.
Ah, ah.
Holy shit. But none of that. This is just a match for no reason.
It's opening the show, I bet.
Yeah. And
get the booze out of the way early.
Yeah.
Have the job happen because you guys know me. I like Samoa Joe. I like him a lot.
He's probably
He's
your favorite.
Losing.
He's losing.
He's losing.
Roman's
and I'm going to still mark the fuck out on Tuesday when he's right face to face with fucking AJ.
Yeah.
I'm already over this.
Like that. Yeah. It's obvious that like Joe's going to move on to AJ because he's already had the beef with AJ. And Joe's going to go back to feuding with Brock. And then we're stuck with this Trump versus Hillary with Brock versus Roman. It's like, you got a douche versus a turd sandwich. What are you going to pick, man? I don't know. I mean, like, ugh. Like, I don't really give a damn. You know, I don't care about either.
As long as either one of them get the Koreans to unify, I mean, it's a win, right?
I guess. I don't know. But
overall, the entire shebang.
7.
7?
I passed out a lot of 7s that sounded right.
I think I'm at about a 6.
Okay.
I'm higher than the Rumble, but I'm still trying I'm trying not to get my hopes up.
Okay. All right. Let's see if I missed anything here from the live chat. Usually when it's a two-man show, it's harder for me to keep up with the chat, so I'm sorry if I didn't see all your stuff. Nah, dude. One of the dirt sheets in the comment section, they were eating Daniel Bryan alive. Okay, I guess so. Daniel also says people thought Reigns was getting jobbed on Monday night. That's funny. Three quarters of the match was Reigns. The double drive by, and then were killed by doing that stuff with Owens and Zayn. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. So that's that.
Assorted musings.
Okay.
Is it time to break them up?
Ooh, dude. Oh, man. No. When I saw Lana with her Rusev Day shirt, saddle up next to Rusev and, up to Rusev and
Aiden English.
Yeah, Mr. Guerrero. I was like, yes, I was excited. Hell yeah, we're going to have Rusev Day with Lana, and it's just going to make them bigger and better, and holy shit, bigger and better. Like, all right, yeah, maybe this stuff about him wanting to get released and go away, you know, whatever. Let's get Lana back on there. That makes you comfortable. We're going to repackage and do some better stuff with you. But then when she immediately started teasing, like, hey, you got to lose the singing, man. So Lana's going to turn Rusev heel, but the Rusev Day stuff is still over, and I have a whole year's worth of calendars. Make that shit up.
Is there a spoiler in this calendar? Is Lana in here in like October, November? Is it still just... it's still both of them.
Still both of them. Yeah, I don't know. Like,
it's still both of them
in December.
Wait, did we get another one? Oh, Jack, wait, what?
Oh, it's just Rusev by himself. Uh-oh. Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
A divorce.
Yeah, dude, I don't know. Like, I want all three of them to be a nice, happy, baby face singing for Rusev for his holiday unit. And it doesn't seem like that's what we're going to get, and I don't know. I don't know.
How about Elias getting over on Bobby Roode?
I forgot about that.
I'm just pulling shit out of thin air.
Yeah.
It's Bobby Roode. I don't care. You're cheering. You're marking out like a little girl.
Yeah. Was there anything on 205? Is there not a Cruiserweight match on the pay-per-view?
No.
Damn.
205. Uh-huh. We have... Brian Kendrick.
I'm sorry. Daniel's right. Rusev Day's entire shelf life is dependent on Aiden English. Yeah.
Really?
I totally agree. You break them up and then you don't have a fucking skinny little minstrel to sing your praises. Rusev Day's not going to work. I agree 100%.
What if you separate them? And say English has a run-in with, I don't know, the Bludgeon Brothers or Sanity. And somebody out of the goodness of their heart says, you know what? I'm not going to let them bury you softly, brother. I got you. And then we tried it apart. It doesn't work. And then we come back together.
At the expense of Lana?
No, have Lana understand that, you know, guys bond, bro bond, can't be broken by a set of Hooters. So you just got to menage, make it all work.
Okay.
Yeah.
You and me, her two, simultaneous loving, baby. 2, 3. Simultaneous.
No.
Thanks, Chef.
That's our South Park reference of the night.
Yes, it is. All right.
Tozawa and Itami lost to Kendrick and Gallagher, and I think there's dissension now between Itami and Tozawa. Buddy Murphy destroyed some jobber.
Yeah.
And then the main event was
Kendrick and
It was Kalisto against
versus Gulak.
Kalisto versus Gulak, yeah.
And Gulak won.
Mm-hmm.
Tapped him out, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. It's 205.
205.
Yeah, 205. Yeah.
Which is sad because I was kind of really behind 205 there for a while when they were leading up to Mania with the whole little tournament thing. And then
I think the pay-per-view schedule is throwing a lot of things off.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, yeah. All right. NXT. Let's talk about NXT.
Let's.
My match of the week pick.
Don't tell me it's what I think it
is. Is Aleister Black versus Eric Young.
Okay.
Really? Okay. You didn't think I was going there?
No.
But I kind of want to amend that a little bit.
Oh, no. You got to use both nuts.
Listen to what I'm going to say. I think not only is that my match of the week pick, I think that's nestled into my segment of the week.
Ah, the destruction of the Gargano wrestler.
Yes, the destruction of Gargano.
And then fucking Ciampa brooding on top of the...
All that together, and then, you know, Alistair's going to come out there, calls out Ciampa, and say against EY. And I was thinking, well, this match is going to be quick, and he's going to make short work of him. And it's actually a competitive matchup.
He killed all three of them. Like, adios, welcome to SmackDown.
But before the killing, it was a competitive matchup. Yeah. It was the best match I've seen out of EY since being in NXT. Hot take. Boom!
I got a hot take for you.
Okay.
You think there's something between Aleister and Tommaso? The black heart and the guy between the darkness and the light? Because like, it just like, felt like you mean it like, felt very odd that while Johnny's getting loaded into the van, Aleister, calm and cool with the belt, walks by and looks down at him and then just casually kept walking.
But yeah, you know, when Aleister got in the ring, he was calling him out and he got interrupted by EY.
Did he call that was planned?
It was planned that he was going to get interrupted by EY?
This could just be a huge just ploy.
I think you need to take off your tinfoil hat, sir.
Dude, Gargano's the only one to pin Aleister Black 1-2-3. Think that's not fucking with Black a little? That he doesn't want to lose his belt to the one guy that's already beat, that the only guy that can stake a claim that he's beaten him? Nah. That he has to use his kryptonite, which is the guy that keeps beating the shit out of him?
I'll say this. We'll see.
Okay. I thoroughly enjoyed Adam Cole versus Oney Lorcan.
Which Lorcan?
Oney Lorcan.
The only one we got.
That was fun as
That'll
shit,
never get
man.
Old to me. I'll share this all to everybody else.
That was fun as shit, man. Mm-hmm. And that promo, the four of them on the mic, dude. That Roderick Strong bit got me like a punch in the balls, dude. Why is it me against the world when I'm always coming up so short?
Yeah.
When I can just be with the Undisputed Era.
Yeah, that was a great promo.
Holy fuck!
So good.
Where was that a year ago when he showed up on NXT? Where?
Where was that his entire goddamn career?
God, dude. He's had heel promos in Ring of Honor after he had finally beaten Jay Lethal in those, mm-hmm. in those three matches. And got the television title. And then like 3 weeks later, he's like, nah, I'm going to be a dick. Nothing compared to that fucking promo. Holy shit, was that good.
Mm-hmm. Did you catch Abel Andrew Jackson and Brennan in that last segment there with the killing of Gargano?
No.
Abel Andrew Jackson. Shout out to him, you know, local Houston independent wrestler. He was the EMT that was putting Gargano on the stretcher. Mm. And Brennan was one of the dudes standing backstage as they were taking him back to there. And there was all the wrestlers just kind of gawking and stuff. And there was Brennan right there.
Brennan's like, I could have done that.
Yeah, so.
I'm bigger than him.
That was cool. That was
I'm nice. Over 9,000.
Yeah. That was a cool little mark-out moment for little Houston guys there.
But you won't make it to ROW show to see him when he's here. You make it to see Brennan come back.
I didn't
You're not going to NXT house show to see Brennan in.
I didn't go to that particular one that Brennan came to because I was busy because I was at my own show. You know, I have responsibilities.
Heavy Machinery against the War Raiders.
That wasn't against the War
Raiders. No, they beat the shit out of these other gooks again. But now we're building up to, I don't know where that came from, we're building up to Heavy Machinery against the War Raiders.
Building up to it, yes. I don't know if you just want to gloss over the fact that Sabatelli just kind of walked out on Moss.
They're dysfunctional. You know what?
Because Moss walked out on Sabatelli before.
It's easy to boo Sabatelli because he just looks like a dick.
This is true.
I wouldn't mind seeing Riddick Moss, not so much like a babyface, rah-rah, sis, boom-bah, but be pissed off at the guy that's easy to be pissed off at and just do something with it. Okay. I wouldn't mind seeing those two wrestle each other. They've been wrestling around everybody else. I think they're sound enough in the ring. I haven't seen them fuck up enough for me to say, oh, my God, these guys suck. Why not put them against each other? They got chemistry. They've been on the road a lot. Let's see what they can do.
And a hot take on that, the gimmick never fit Riddick Moss.
No.
The gimmick fits Tino Sabatelli.
Yeah.
They're shoehorning this other guy that
Riddick Moss was legit the scrub. TLC personified. Yeah. He's just like hanging on just to get like the leftovers.
Yeah. Yeah. Riddick Moss needs to get repackaged and do his own thing because that like super wealthy top 1%, but like
we can't all be on Moss.
It works for Sabatelli. They don't work for Moss. No. But okay. Trash compactor 1, 2, 3. As Daniel says here in the live chat, Tonka Trucks versus Bearded Demolitions coming up. I'm okay with this. I'm cool with it. I mean, there's going to be like there's a special, you know, feeling that I get when I see Brennan. There's a special feeling that I get when I see Amor Aju Jackson on TV. There's going to be a special feeling that I'll get when I see Raymond Rowe on TV. But, I mean, that's my own bias just because, you know, they came through here and I got to see them in person for a long time and they were working the indies that I was working at and all that shit. So,
and we got to interview them as part of the wrestling show.
Yes, interviewing them as well. Yeah. So, yeah, it's really awesome that they're started here and now they're here. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. And you can try to grab on and get some of the leftovers.
Try to get that. Yeah.
That's it, man.
All right.
We've broken out the all-in stuff that's coming up. Backlash is Sunday. Raw's coming in a couple of weeks to Toyota Center, June 4th. Mm-hmm. The end of the month is NXT. There's still some tickets left unless you just want to go and see nothing because those seats up there are horrible.
Yeah.
ROW's doing the ladies thing.
Yeah, the ladies night out again where it's
Keon, the champion, is going to be there.
Yeah.
Should have got her. I think I got her number when we were at the fantasy camp, but I never followed up. As my loss, of course. Of course, she's champ now, so she's out of my range anyway.
Oh, yes.
But not in the camp because we're right there.
Saying yeah, yeah. So, at that time, y'all were eye to eye.
Yeah. How about that DZW stuff?
That's the following weekend. Okay. Not this Sunday, but the following Sunday. Or excuse me, Saturday. Because I'm an idiot. No, the following Saturday, not this Saturday, following Saturday. We're going to be at the Elks Lodge this time in Katy, Texas. So, yeah.
Changing it up a bit, huh?
Yeah, apparently that was where they were at before I started coming around. They had a lot of
people. You weren't welcome at the Elk Lodge.
I wasn't welcome.
Like, we smell of Abel. Get the fuck away from here!
Shut up.
You smell like salmon.
Delicious salmon. All right, so that's that.
That's it,
I guess that's the show. All right,
please.
Adios, my friends. Keep it classy.